This is The Storyteller, bringing you stories and music from around the world and from many cultures. I'm Natalie Harris. The Storyteller cannot be made possible without the generous contributions of KZFR members and by Peter Tikkanen, in association with Baywood Real Estate, a local real estate firm established in 1962. Peter Tikkanen and Baywood Real Estate are happy to support community radio and can be reached at 680-1900 or at chicohomes.com. And also by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by Chico Paper Company, a family-owned corner store of downtown Chico for over 40 years, located at 4th and Broadway. Chico Paper Company features an on-site custom framing studio and art gallery showing the largest selections of local and regional artists. Chico Paper Company can be reached by calling 891-0900 or on the web at chicopapercompany.com. So, you may have heard around that the new Guardians of the Galaxy movie came out, which is what inspired this theme tonight, superheroes. So, personally, I have a confession to make. I haven't seen many superhero movies. The only Marvel movie I've seen is Ant-Man, and the only DC movie that I've seen is Batman The Dark Knight. So, I'm not quite that knowledgeable, but this show was really fun for me to do because I was able to learn more about superheroes and about their origin stories and all of that fun stuff. And so I hope you enjoy the show just as much as I did creating it. And kudos to you if you recognize that song. That song is a theme song that I know. It was, it's from The Incredibles, Pixar's The Incredibles, which is a superhero story that I know pretty well. And The Incredibles 2 is coming out in 2019. So be looking for that. I know I'm super hyped for it as well. So to start off the show, I wanted to do a classic. I loved reading her story. Her story was very interesting to me. And here is Wonder Woman, an origin story. And just a heads up, I'm sorry if I mispronounce any of the names, but I do try my best to make sure I pronounce all of the planet names correctly. So here is Wonder Woman, an origin story, written by John Zakalis. Welcome to the beautiful island of the Themyscira. It is surrounded by crystal clear water. It is full of lush green plant life, but the Themyscira can't be seen on any map. The secret place is the home of the Amazons. They are a tribe of female warriors. They are all experts in combat. Their queen, Hippolyta, leads them. She is a fair ruler. Hippolyta's daughter is the princess. Her name is Diana. She is the heir to the throne. Diana is confident. She is determined. She has a heart of gold. When she was born, Diana was given many gifts from the Greek gods. Zeus is the king of the Greek gods. The lord of lightning gave Diana the gift of strength. Hermes is the swift-footed messenger. He gave her the gift of speed. Aphrodite is the goddess of love. She gave Diana the gift of beauty. Athena is intelligent and wise. She gave Diana the gift of wisdom. From a young age, Diana was taught her royal duties. She learned the proper etiquette of a princess. She also loved to be outdoors. She enjoyed playing games with all of her friends. Whenever the queen was busy, Diana would leave the palace. She climbed trees in the forest, she ran through the meadows, she dived off cliffs into the sea. When Diana grew older, Hippolyta showed her a glimpse of the world beyond the Themyscira. The princess saw the many evils that harmed it. "What is happening?" Diana asked. "The rest of the world does not live in peace and harmony. Ares, the god of war, causes pain and violence," her mother explained. "They are suffering," the princess said. "We must help them." The queen agreed that something must be done. The next day, Queen Hippolyta spoke to all of the Amazons. "We will send an ambassador of peace to aid the world of man," she said. "There will be a contest to find the most worthy Amazon." "Why send one of my sisters when I am the best?" asked Diana. "Your place is in the palace with me," Hippolyta said. "You cannot compete." Diana put on a disguise and entered the contest anyway. The trial of the Amazons began. There was a chariot race, an archery contest, and a sword fight. Only one Amazon did well in each event. She left her competition in the dust. At the end of the day, the winner was revealed. She removed her helmet. Everyone gasped at the sight of Princess Diana. Queen Hippolyta was furious. "You disobeyed me, Diana," she said, "but you have also proven yourself worthy. I must give these gifts to you." Hippolyta opened a golden trunk. Inside was a special tiara. Next to it was a pair of unbreakable silver bracelets, and the lasso of truth lay on the other side. "I will make all the Amazons proud," Diana said. "I will become a brave hero." On that day, Wonder Woman was born. To travel to places outside the Themyscira, Diana used her invisible jet. This way, no one will ever find the secret location of the Amazon's island. Diana arrives in the United States. She creates a secret identity for herself and gets a job. From there, she keeps a close eye on activities all over the world. Suddenly, there is an increase in violence in another country. War has erupted between neighboring villages. Ares, Diana says to herself, by spreading hatred, he is fueling his own power. He must be stopped. Diana sneaks into a quiet area where no one can see her. Then she twirls and twirls. She transforms into Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman flies straight into the war zone. She startles the soldiers. They turn on her and fire their weapons. The amazing Amazon blocks the blast with her shining silver bracelets. My brothers, she commands, please see reason. Show compassion to one another. The soldiers lay down their arms. They begin to talk. They take one step closer to understanding each other. As the fighting fades, Ares' strength also weakens. The god of war is angry. Wonder Woman has ruined his plan. Ares appears on the battlefield. He challenges Wonder Woman. I will strike down anyone who stands in my way, he cries. The two warriors charge each other. The battle is fierce. Your power comes from hate, Wonder Woman says to Ares, but my power comes from love, and that is much stronger. Combining her glorious gifts, Wonder Woman banishes Ares back to the underworld. With the god of war gone, peace returns. The hero heads back home. The more villains turn up. Some of them are big trouble. Giganta can grow to the size of a building. She charges through the city. Wonder Woman puts an end to her rampage with one well-placed punch. The bigger they are, the harder they fall, she says. Other foes keep Wonder Woman on her toes. Circe is an evil enchantress. She can turn people into animals, and her pets must follow her orders. Luckily, Wonder Woman can communicate with the animals. She quickly turns the tables on the mean mistress of magic. Cheetah is a master thief. She is robbing the First National Bank. Wonder Woman arrives at the scene, but Cheetah is too fast. The feline criminal escapes. Wonder Woman lassos one of the henchmen. Tell me where Cheetah is going, she says. Caught in the lasso of truth, the thug cannot lie. He reveals the location of Cheetah's hideout. Minutes later, the amazing Amazon arrives. The feline felon is no match for Wonder Woman. The money is returned to the bank. This cat belongs in a cage, Wonder Woman says. And so Cheetah finds herself a new home, in the city jail. Diana of Themyscira is a princess and a warrior, but more importantly, she is a champion for peace as well as justice. She is a superhero. She is Wonder Woman. The end. It was really interesting to read her story, because obviously I'd heard of her, because superheroes are such a large part of our pop culture, but I never knew where she came from and what her origin story was, so that was super interesting for me to read and for me to find out. She really does have a pretty amazing story to tell. This next story isn't as well known as Wonder Woman, but I really liked it because it shows that superheroes can be found even in the smallest and most interesting of places. So here is Traction Man Meets Turbo Dog by Minnie Gray. Traction Man is here, and his faithful pet, Scrubbing Brush Tool. Traction Man and Scrubbing Brush are on the northwest slope of Mount Compost Heap. Traction Man is wearing his rubber rescue harness, glacier boots, and lots of rope. Scrubbing Brush is carrying lunch. This ancient potato is guiding them to the top. They have to pass through the ring of mystic shrooms. They bow to the shrooms. The summit! They plant a flag and have their sandwich. The only way back is through the swampy marshes of the pond. They can cross by a boot. Careful there, Scrubbing Brush. The front of the boot is highly polished. Too late! Scrubbing Brush has slipped off into a patch of sinking mud and is being sucked into the depths. Grab the boot lace tightly, Scrubbing Brush, and don't let go. Scrubbing Brush is very muddy. Traction Man and Scrubbing Brush are drying off in front of the heater. Traction Man is wearing a knotted spotted hanky. Scrubbing Brush is encrusted with dried-on dirt. Everyone is warm and sleepy. What's that bleeping noise? Turbo Dog is here. In indestructible purple plastic with flashing eyes, electronic bark, and 3 AA batteries. I will be your pet, says Turbo Dog. Well, thank you, Turbo Dog, but I already have one. However, Scrubbing Brush does seem to be off doing something just now. You could come with me to explore the secrets of the laundry room, Traction Man says. Traction Man and Turbo Dog are creeping oh so quietly through the underpants to photograph the sleeping Tittles. It is a fierce animal and must not be woken. Suddenly, Turbo Dog says, Stop, intruder, I will be your pet. Well, thanks for that, Turbo Dog. Scrubbing Brush crept quietly. Where is Scrubbing Brush? Traction Man and Turbo Dog are crossing the wastes of the sand pit. Some are under the shifting sands or the ruins of the handbag. Maybe there's a corner of it there. The handbag dwellers are very shy. What's the matter, Turbo Dog? Your bearings aren't suitable for this sort of terrain. Traction Man digs Turbo Dog out. I will be your pet. Don't mention it, Turbo Dog. All in day's work. Some sand wouldn't have stopped Scrubbing Brush. Where is Scrubbing Brush? Traction Man and Turbo Dog are watching Turbo Dog's greatest adventures on TV. Turbo Dog thinks it is just getting to the good bit. That is what Turbo Dog likes to do best. Scrubbing Brush, I must find my brave pet. Where can Scrubbing Brush be? Traction Man is searching in their favorite hiding places. The toy cupboard, under the bed, down the Grand Sofa Canyon. Not a bristle to be seen. Maybe Scrubbing Brush has wandered outside and could be in terrible danger. The tool shed! Oh, but no sign. Never run out of hope. Never give up. Scrubbing Brush will be somewhere. But Traction Man has looked just about everywhere. Ah! Did you hear that? It's very faint, coming from the dark and terrible underworld of the bin. Traction Man will have to go in. He wears his airtight astro suit with glass head globe. The atmosphere at the bin's surface may be deadly poisonous. Traction Man takes a bottle of super strong germo with ammonia. No one has ever returned alive from the bin before. These evil creatures are gathered around a shivering bundle of potato peelings. I wonder, Scrubbing Brush, it's you! No one smothers my brave pet with vegetable peel. Take that and that. Traction Man squirts the bin things with germo and they hiss and wither. Run and don't look round. Whatever you do, don't listen to the tormenting cries of the bin things. Phew, good work, Scrubbing Brush. Traction Man and Scrubbing Brush are going free, diving in the steaming tropical waters of the tub. Turbo Dog has come too. Turbo Dog is floating on the SS Sponge. Traction Man is wearing his elasticized micro suit, shark knife, and the slime-lined snorkel. Scrubbing Brush is looking much cleaner. What's that, Scrubbing Brush? Turbo Dog wants to go diving too, does he? I don't think that's a good idea. Water and electricity don't mix. Oh no, too late. It looks like Turbo Dog dived in after all. He's sinking like a stone. There's a fizz and a flicker. Oh dear. Traction Man and Scrubbing Brush are surviving for the afternoon in the shrubbery near the pond. Traction Man has his magnetic compass, first aid kit, and survival vest. They have constructed a shelter from pillowcases and a bath mat. The dollies are looking after Turbo Dog. He is very quiet now. They had to take out his rusty batteries. Scrubbing Brush is wearing a badge of cleanness and has been foraging for supplies. Traction Man is helping Scrubbing Brush stay clean, and of course they are both prepared for anything. The end. So we're going to take a quick break, and after the break we're going to look at Spider-Man's origin story. So what better way to lead into Spider-Man than play Spider-Man's theme song? So this rendition is done by Michael Bublé, and it was played in the Spider-Man 2 movie. I really like this and hope you like it too. It definitely makes me want to go out and dance.
Spider-Man, Spider-Man, does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes the Spider-Man. Is he strong? Listen, buddy, he's got radioactive blood. Can he swing from a thread? Take a look overhead. Hey there, there goes the Spider-Man. In the chill of night, at the scene of a crime, like a streak of light, he arrives just in time. Spider-Man, Spider-Man, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Wealth and fame he's ignored, action is his reward. Look out, here comes the Spider-Man. We'll be right back.
friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Well, fame, he's ignored. Action is his reward. Look out, here comes the Spider-Man. In the chill of night, at the scene of a crime, like a streak of light, he arrives just in time. Comes the Spider-Man.
Welcome back to The Storyteller. I'm Natalie Harris. In case you're just joining us, we are doing a superhero theme tonight. In case you haven't heard, the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 has come out. And so that's kind of what inspired this show. My dad and my sister are huge Marvel fans, and I have some other friends that are huge into Marvel and all superheroes and stuff, from, including the DC universe as well. I, on the other hand, don't have a ton of experience with it. Haven't seen a ton of the movies. I've only seen Ant-Man and the Batman movie, the Dark Knight one, that one. So I don't have a ton of experience, but I plan on seeing them at least at some point. Definitely the Guardians of the Galaxy movies look really good, so maybe I'll start there. Anyways, we just played the Spider-Man theme song by Michael Bublé, and so we were going to take a closer look at Spider-Man's origin story. So here is The Amazing Spider-Man, an origin story based on the Marvel comic book series, and this story was adapted by Rich Thomas. Have you ever felt lonely, sad, powerless? Peter Parker felt that way every day. He was a student at Midtown High. Some of the other kids at school didn't understand why Peter enjoyed the things he did. And sometimes when kids don't understand something, they can act cruelly. Peter enjoyed all his classes, but science was his favorite. He was the best student Midtown High had seen in many years, and his teachers were very proud of him. The only thing Peter loved more than science was his family. He lived with his Aunt May and his Uncle Ben in Queens, New York, and whenever Peter felt sad at school, he remembered he'd be home soon and he'd start to smile. Even though some of the kids at school didn't like him, Peter never stopped trying to be friendly. He had heard about a great demonstration at the science hall. He asked the other kids if they wanted to join him. The other students just laughed at Peter. One of them, a bully named Flash Thompson, even pushed him to the ground. And by the time Peter arrived at the science hall, he had forgotten all about his classmates' cruel actions. All he could think about was the experiment. He couldn't wait to see how the scientists would control a radioactive wave. The rays were ready. Peter eagerly looked on, but so did something else. The demonstration was about to begin. Peter was awed by the experiment. He was thrilled to be there in the company of such brilliant scientists. He wanted to be just like them, smart, talented, amazing. Everyone was so fascinated that no one noticed when something unplanned occurred. A spider descended between the rays just as they were activated. As the radioactive spider fell, dying, it bit the nearest living thing, which happened to be Peter Parker. As soon as he was bitten, Peter felt weak and tired. The room began to spin. The scientists noticed that Peter looked ill, and they offered to help him. But Peter just wanted to get out of the dark laboratory and into the fresh air. Peter felt a sudden, peculiar tingling in his head. It was an itching, urging, nagging feeling. The only thing he understood about it was that he was meant to react, to do something. So he did. Peter was sure he was dreaming. He couldn't really be climbing up a wall. Nobody could do that. When he reached the roof, he grabbed onto a chimney and crushed it. He didn't have that kind of strength. Peter felt that tingly feeling again. This time it gave him the urge to spring, and so he jumped from one tall roof to another. And when he wanted to go back down to the street, the same strange feeling told him the easiest way to get there was to climb down a clothesline. Peter stared at himself in amazement. How could this be happening? Then Peter realized he had started feeling different right after being bitten by that spider in the lab. Somehow, the experiment must have affected the dying creature, and when it bit Peter, it transferred its power to him. As he wandered home, amazed and half-dazed, a sign outside an old wrestling theater caught his eye. It would be the perfect way to test all of his newfound abilities. Peter rushed home, and then he rushed right back. Peter was ready to test his new powers on a brutish wrestler called Crusher Hogan. Peter wore a disguise so that no one would make fun of him if his plan didn't work. He'd been teased and taunted enough. When Peter challenged him, Crusher Hogan laughed. But Crusher soon found that he was very wrong to do so. Peter was paid well for the victory. A man in the crowd even asked him if he'd want to be on TV. Things finally seemed to be going right for Peter. Plus, Peter had his Aunt May and his Uncle Ben at home. They were still doing everything they could to make him happy. His uncle had even saved up for a special microscope that Peter had wanted. With his new microscope, Peter's experiments would be better than ever. Uncle Ben reminded him that knowledge and science were power, and Uncle Ben told Peter, "With great power comes great responsibility." Peter was too excited to settle down. He used his new microscope, his chemistry set, and his knowledge of science to create a very special fluid. It had the strength and stickiness of a spider's silk. Then he created devices that could spin the fluid into a web the same way a spider would. He called them his web shooters. Finally, he designed a sleek new costume, and all he needed was a stage name. He arrived at one as good as any other, Spider-Man. Peter's TV appearances were a huge hit. After all, who wouldn't be amazed by a Spider-Man climbing up walls and swinging from his own webs? Soon everyone wanted a piece of Spider-Man. Peter was starting to feel important, wanted, and powerful. No one would ever be able to push him around again, not when he had powers like these. Peter got lost thinking about how wonderful his new life would be. He daydreamed about fame and celebrity, and when a security guard called for help down the studio hall, Peter ignored him. The crook that the guard was chasing raced into an elevator, the doors closed, and the thief escaped. But Peter didn't care. He had great power, and from now on, he only needed to look out for one person, himself. It didn't take long for Peter to forget about the officer and the escaped criminal. In fact, by the time he got home, they were the furthest things from his mind. He was just happy to be with the people who loved him. And in his spare time, when he was not studying or home with his family, Peter sent out as the famous Spectacular Spider-Man. But one night, on his way home from a TV performance, Peter arrived to find something worrisome. Peter knew something was terribly wrong, and he was right. His Uncle Ben had been killed by a criminal. The police officers told Peter not to worry. They had the crook cornered at an old waterfront warehouse. Peter ran upstairs, put on his costume, and swooped over the city to avenge his uncle. Peter was quicker and more furious than ever before. At last, Peter arrived at the warehouse. He landed on the far wall. The thief was stunned. And that's when Spider-Man sprung into action. The crook's hat flew from his head, and Peter finally took a good look at him. Peter felt a heavy weight in his chest. It couldn't be, but it was. The man who had killed his uncle was the same man he allowed to escape to the elevator at the studio. If only Peter had stopped him then. If only he had not acted so selfishly. Stunned, Peter tied up the criminal in webbing and dangled him off a street lamp for the police to find. The most Peter could do now was to prevent him from hurting anyone else. Through the haze of his grief, Peter realized something. He had not chosen these abilities, but it was his obligation to use them for good. It was not about money or fame or any of the other rewards his power could give him. He had finally realized that what his Uncle Ben had told him was true. With great power comes great responsibility. And that was the rule that Peter Parker lived by from that day forward. The end. I really hope you enjoyed tonight's show, and like I said, I really enjoyed it too. I really learned a lot about superheroes just from this little minute show that I was able to put together, and I loved so much just how superheroes, they really do have a good message, and like Peter Parker, Spider-Man, just realizing, you know, like that whole great power comes great responsibility, and Wonder Woman standing for what's right. It's all such incredible messages that we can all totally take from in our everyday lives, and that's what makes them so inspiring, and that's why they are such a big part of our pop culture and why there's so many movies based on them. Remember that the storytellers cannot be made possible with a generous contribution of KZFR members and by Florinade Nursery and Restoration, Where the Wild Things Grow, a California native nursery committed to the use of sustainable native plants for landscaping and restoration projects. For information about native plants or drought tolerant landscape design, visit Flora Nade Nursery and Restoration at 2511 Flora Avenue or call 892-2511 online at floranadenursery.com. Again, I really hope you enjoyed tonight's show and that you learned something new as well, or you enjoyed the stories that you already knew and got to explore them once again with me. And if you haven't seen Guardians of the Galaxy, I've heard it's pretty good. And also the library got some new books about like Groot and stuff, so check those out as well. This song also helped inspire the show because my friend was singing and it got stuck in my head. Hopefully it gets stuck in your head too. Here is Hooked on a Feeling by Void Oid. See you next time.
Ooka chaka, ooka, ooka, ooka chaka, ooka, ooka, ooka chaka, ooka, ooka, ooka chaka, ooka, ooka.
I can't stop this feeling deep inside of me. Girl, you just don't realize what you do to me. When you hold me in your arms so tight, you let me know everything's alright.